produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This radio program is produced by Kayla Padgett on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Greetings, my precious brothers and sisters from Johannesburg in South Africa. Thank you for joining us, and I know that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you. Your time with us is not going to be wasted. But before we start, let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, I declare that this radio station is sanctified. Let grace and mercy prevail over us. Let there be fire in our mouth as we minister your word. I take authority over any demonic or satanic atmosphere and climate created to stop what you have ordained. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Yes, my family, welcome once again. You are listening to Pastor Roxanne Maestri, live from Johannesburg. And today I'm so honored to be with such a gorgeous woman. She is known as Anne Fakhile, but she's going to say it much better than me. So here with me today is Anne Fakhile.
Good day. I'm so honored to be here. And like Pastor Roxanne has mentioned, my name is Fakhile. Oyekami is my surname. I always joke that I have a platter of names because my British name is Anne and I have a Zulu name, it's Fakhile. Oyekami is obviously my husband's surname, and I'm very, very grateful to be with you this morning.
What are you going to do? Wow, how do you say Fakhile? It sounds very Afrikaans to me. What does that name even mean? What does it mean? I'm sure there's a meaning behind that.
Well, the name is actually pronounced Fakhile. And it's a Zulu name. It actually means arrived, the one who has arrived.
Wow, what a sweet name. So she is a committed Christian. She's a wife and a mother of two. So Anne Fakhile as is qualified public relations practitioner. Wow, that is so interesting. She's also the director of Lemid. Did I say it right? Lemon. Is it Lemid? How do you say that?
Lamide. It's actually Lamide. It's a Nigerian name. In fact, my daughter's name is Olamide, which means my wealth has come home. So I used her name to name my business.
Wow, that's so interesting. You are like a woman full of interest and a lot of pronunciation, and I'm learning a lot today. So she's a director of events and communication services, a company that organizes the father and daughter event called Dance with My Father, which we'll get into just now. So tell me, I'm going to call you Anne. Can I call you Anne to make it much more easier? I don't like to mispronounce people's name. I feel bad. So Anne, here you are, and I'm reading your profile. You sound like a very dynamic, very awesome, you say Christian, a wife and a mother. But can I take you back? Can you take us back to who is Anne that people don't know? Like today we see you. You're a beautiful woman. I've heard you speak as well behind the pulpit. But deep down inside, who is Anne that no one knows about?
Well, I'm a second born of five children. I was born in the township called Soweto in Johannesburg. We were born from four different fathers, and none of our fathers were present except the lastborn's father. So I grew up without a father. And I think that's one of the things that is not so obvious, you know, now that I'm a grown woman, a family woman.
Okay, so you was born in Soweto. For those who's listening who don't understand as you and I understand Soweto, can you explain the community? What is Soweto like?
Well, Soweto, like I've mentioned, it's one of the townships in South Africa, in Johannesburg. And the part of Soweto that I grew up in is, you know, it's not really for people who are rich. Most of us grew up in poverty. I remember as a child, in the entire neighborhood where I grew up, there were only two professionals, which were teachers. Everybody else was unemployed. Those who were employed, they were doing, you know, factory work and all of that. But in my family in particular, at that time, I remember growing up without anyone working. I remember going to bed without food because there wasn't anyone working. And it wasn't really just my home that was like that. Even some of my friends that I grew up with grew up in the same or a similar kind of environment. I grew up raised by my grandmother because my mother, most of the time, I think just that environment was too overwhelming for her, you know, being a woman with five children without a husband. Most of the time she was an absent mother. So I was raised mainly by my grandmother. And for a greater part of our childhood, my grandmother wasn't receiving what is known as a pension or government assistance. So most of the time we would get assistance from neighbors who could share whatever they could share with us. Because I was a child who used to do well in school, I used to get a lot of support from my teachers in terms of food, in terms of clothing. So that's just the picture of where I come from.
Okay, so what you're saying that you grew up in a very poor environment, a very poor community, that really you had to, like, you can say this, the fittest will survive kind of situation. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, you know, like I was saying, there wasn't so many role models because all of us had an average life. You know, most of us didn't have food in our families. We had, you know, a lot of us came from families where there was no one working, you know, so there wasn't so much to look forward to except just to be in that kind of an environment. I remember there was two shebeens, even in that poverty, there were two shebeens in our street. So the role models there were people who are drinking, people who are dropping out from school. So that is just the environment that we grew up in.
Sure, that sounds very, very hectic. Wow. And then while growing up in such a community, what was your thoughts? What was your feelings as growing up and seeing all these surroundings and be, as you mentioned, there were a lot of drug, you mentioned a lot of alcoholic people around you. What was your thoughts growing up in such a poor community?
Well, one of the things that my environment taught me or inspired in me, you know, the alcohol, it was a predominant thing in my family. My mother used to drink a lot, you know, being a woman, and she would, obviously, when you're drunk, you fall on the street and people used to carry her home. And for me, besides being a Christian, that was the first thing I had decided that, you know what, I'm not going to find myself close to alcohol because I saw how it used to make my family. I remember my mom and aunts used to fight. You know, they wouldn't confront issues when they are sober. They would wait until they were drunk and there would be a lot of fights in my family. So being in that environment, one of the things that it has helped me is to make a decision that if this is how alcohol makes you do, if this is how alcohol makes you behave, that is one of the things that I don't want in my life.
Wow, that is so motivating to hear that you grew up in such an environment. But now, at what point in time, Anne, did your mindset change? where you said that this kind of life is not for me, where you said that you are going to do whatever it takes. You're going to push yourself to be the best that you can so that you can move out of this community. Was there ever a time that you went through that stage? And while going through stage, as growing up as a teenager, did you perhaps get involved in non-godly stuffs?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, that there were very few people who were teachers in my community, and one of them was a Christian woman who was running a soup kitchen that was by a certain church. And she invited, in that soup kitchen, it was predominantly for children. And my friends and I used to go there just for soup because we didn't have food at home. And fortunately for us, that's where we got the godly foundation. She gave us a different picture because she was staying in the same environment, but she was one of a few people who were different, who had a stable home. So that became an example for me from an early age. But that doesn't mean that when I grew up, I didn't have negative influence. But it wasn't when I was a teenager, because as a teenager, I was involved in church. I was part of the leadership of the youth in the church. All the other going astray happened when I was way even out of tertiary, because my focus was I wanted to study, I wanted to finish and do whatever it takes to finish my studies.
So to me, it sounds that you had the passion, you had the tenacity, and you knew that deep down inside of you that there was something greater, there was something bigger than what you were facing right now. That is so, so encouraging and such an awesome testimony. Now, if I had to pose, as you know that the show is called Who Told You, if I had to pose and say, how would you finish the sentence if I said, who told you? So who told you that Anne Fehile?
Who told you that if you come from a poor background, you can't make something good for yourself? Who told you that you cannot finish school without assistance from your family? Because in my situation, when I completed my matric, I was able to go to tertiary education. Like it was mentioned in the introduction, that I am a qualified public relations practitioner. And that didn't happen through the assistance from home because they didn't have the money. But I had this vision. You know, I remember when I completed my matric, my mother wanted me, she was actually happy because she thought I would immediately go and find a job. But I had my vision that no, I didn't want the kind of job that I would get with the matric certificate. So I had to push. But my emphasis is, who told you that you can't go through school without a blesser? Because that is one of the sad things in our communities right now with young girls, that because of pressure of wanting things, it could be something as genuine as education, but it doesn't mean that you have to lower your standards to pursue your vision. So who told you that as a young person who doesn't have a father, who doesn't have support from home, that you cannot go through school without the assistance of God?
Wow, that is so, so, so inspirational. That is, I'm really awed of exactly what you said. It's amazing because exactly what you said, who told you? Who told you that the girl born in Soweto, which is such a poor community, is now not today a public relation practitioner? Isn't our God great? I am so blessed to have met you. And not only is she a public relation practitioner, as I mentioned before, she has an event which is called Father and Daughter Dance with My Father. And can I take you back? Why, out of everything that you could have named or start an organization, why have you called it Father and Daughter Dance with My Father? What inspired you to name it as such? And what is the reason behind this event?
Well, firstly, it was because of my background. Like I've mentioned, that I grew up without a father. And as females, as women, even no matter how old you are, there is an innate desire to have affection, to have attention. And if that is not met by a father, you will look for it elsewhere. So I called it Dance with My Father, specifically from the South African context, where we have a lot of fathers that are abusing their children sexually. I wanted to demystify that myth, that there are no men that we can trust with our daughters. You know, dancing by nature is something that is very intimate. You'd have to hold the person that you're dancing with. So for me, it is also a statement of restoration of trust between fathers and daughters, that as women, as mothers, we can leave our daughters in their room with our men without fearing that the daughter will come with a story that daddy touched me inappropriately, which is a reality of where we're coming from. So yeah, firstly, it was for that. And to also encourage that relationship between fathers and daughters. I know fathers are known to be providers, which is important, but more than just giving gifts, more than just paying school fees, your presence as a father is very important because it sets a tone. It becomes like a template of what your daughter should look for in a man, you know, because unfortunately there's a lot of men out there who are looking to reach out to your daughter. They may give her what looks like love, but if you as a father have not taken time to say, my girl, this is what love looks like, you know, in relation to him. But over and above that, I also encourage when we have this event that it's not even just the way you treat your daughter, but, you know, children don't only learn by what we say to them, but they watch how we live. So it's important how you treat the mother of your children, irrespective of whether you are married or not, because that is also a lesson.
Wow, that is so very, very emotional. I mean, having such an event and dance with my father, doesn't it take you back, way back to your emotions? How do you handle such an event? I mean, I know if I had to come to that event and with my story, I would just break down, leave alone start in such an event. How do you handle these emotions? How do you pull yourself together? And I think from where I'm standing, I can say that the reason why you do it is because you lost that opportunity to dance with your father. And therefore, now you have this opportunity. So every father and daughter that you see, you receive healing from it. How do you handle this emotion? How do you handle putting such an event together? What is your spark that says, you know what, I can do this?
Well, I've gotten to understand that your pain can be your ministry. You know, the things that hurt you can become your instrument of blessing to other people. So I've accepted that it's not about me. It's making sure that for as long as possible, for as far as I can, that no girl should experience the deprivation that I have experienced. So I've made peace with the fact that it's not about me. It doesn't mean the emotion is not there, because I still long to have, you know, sometimes it's really funny when I have my own conversations with God. I sometimes say, God, I wish you were physical, because I still want to feel that embrace. Yes, I'm married, but it's not the same. It's not the same when it's a father. So, but it's not about me. It's using what I had experienced to be a blessing to other people.
Indeed, I can say it takes a strong woman who has gone through such emotions to put her emotions aside and to say, let me help other young girls. Let me help not only the girls, but let me help the father. Because also sometimes you have fathers who don't really know how to reach out to their daughters and vice versa. Wow, I'm so inspired. If I can ask you, if someone's listening today, but before I do that, what is your favorite scripture? What is the scripture that when you're down and out, and when the enemy reminds you of such of the pains that you've been through in your past, what is the scripture that you draw, where you draw your strength, you draw your courage? Can you tell us what is your favorite scripture?
My favorite scripture is in the book of Isaiah, where God says, fear not, I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, and I will help you. You know, it's not just words. Throughout my life is actually a product of God's help. You know, from just going back to when I was young, how I went through school, it was just the hand of God, the favor of God. Even initiating this event, Dance with My Father, I mean, it's not something that you just put up anyhow. I'm a believer in excellence. And yes, it is a ticketed event, but we put it in such a way that no one will say it's too expensive. So the other part it had to take God to assist. So I like that scripture because I am evidence that God means his word when he says, I will help you. I will help you. Can you imagine a God of the entire world paying attention to you? You know, I know that there's billions of us in the world, but in my experience, when God says, I will help you, he means it. And that's why I always, whenever I get an opportunity to speak to young girls, to say, don't despair. God is watching you. You're not just a number, but God is so personal and he says, I will help you. So that is my anchor scripture.
Yes, family, if you have just joined in, you are listening to Pastor Roxanne Maestri live from Johannesburg in South Africa on the Who Told You program. And I'm here with the beautiful, gorgeous Anne Fakhile. And her favorite quote is, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Let me repeat that. If you want to go fast, F-A-S-T, go alone. If you want to go far, F-A-R, go together. I don't know about you, but I'm inspired and I am motivated to have such an awesome woman sitting with me to see the background that she grew up in, but how she elevated herself into whom she is today. Fakhile, someone's out there is listening. Someone out there maybe have gone through what you have been through. Growing up without a father is not easy. What would you encourage them with? How would you encourage them?
Look, I believe that physical parents are very important, like I've mentioned. But before you were even born, there's somebody else who knew you, God. Because it says in his word, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. So it means that God has been committed to us before we're even born. So even without a physical identity, even with, because with me, it was the father and my mother was absent most of the time. But God will never do that to you. So my advice is just get a relationship with God. I know it sometimes sounds like it's just fairy tales, but get that relationship with his word. And believe what he says in his word. And that makes a huge difference.
Amen, amen. Such powerful words, such encouraging words. So now we're going to close, Fakhile, and I want you to pray. Pray for that person who is listening, especially for the father. Maybe there are fathers out there that are going through struggles and they don't know how to embrace their daughter. Because remember, everyone's got different cultures. And some of the cultures don't allow the father to embrace their daughter like how we are talking about now, where they have like, you know, they weren't taught that way. So I want you to also to pray for the father who is listening out there. And also, yes, pray for the daughters. The daughters that don't have, that grew up without a father. And perhaps a daughter who has a father but needs more love from the father. Can you pray with us?
Before I pray, I just want to talk to the fathers. You know, I know in our society, being a good man is defined by how much you can provide for your family. And we know that is important. But sometimes circumstances may not allow you to do it as much as you would love to. But that doesn't mean you are a wimp. That doesn't mean you are useless. There's other aspects that you can give to your family. Just being there, just being supportive, just saying, even just writing a note to your daughter, I love you. That will not cost you any cent. You don't need to be employed anywhere to be able to do that. So I just wanted to encourage the fathers first to say, you are important. You are not a wimp because you're not working. Don't look down on yourself. There is something else that you can give that will not require any money for you, from you rather. And I'd like us to pray right now. Father, I thank you for every person that is listening to this program. Lord, I pray for the girls that are listening right now. Lord, I pray that through your spirit, Father, you would remind them that you are the father to the fatherless. That, Lord, you have decided and you have told us in your word that we belong to you, Father, that we are yours. Father, remind them, Lord God, that you are thinking about them because your word says that great and the thoughts you think towards us, they outnumber the sands of the sea. Father, I pray for every man that is listening to this program. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your spirit would reach out to them, remind them of their worth, O God. Father God, I pray for those who have misbehaved in the past, who have gone out of your will, that, Lord, you would bring them back, Lord. I pray for every man who is facing condemnation, Lord, for everything that they have done in the past. Lord, through your spirit, restore them, Lord. Restore their dignity, Father God, as men, as providers, as priests in their families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Father God, even for our society, mighty God, that you will bring in our hearts the love, Heavenly Father, to build, mighty God, that where there's a gap, we would step in with your love, that where there's a gap, Father God, we would reach out to the girls that don't have fathers, Lord God, to close that gap through your love, through your support, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Fikile, can you tell us, so you have a Dance with My Father event. When's the next event, number one? Secondly, how can people contact you if they want to be part of the event, maybe a sponsorship or maybe to attend the event? Can you give us a contact number or perhaps a Facebook page?
The Dance with My Father event for now is an annual event. We are looking at, you know, doing it more frequently than just once a year. But the next one is next year in September. The planning has already started. So if people want to get involved in any way, my number is 076-074-3458 and I'm available on Facebook. My Facebook page is Fikile Morayo. Morayo is Morayo. And my surname is Oyekanmi. Fikile is Fikile Morayo, Morayo. And my surname is Oyekanmi on Facebook. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time and thank you for encouraging us. That was a very powerful, powerful session. I really enjoyed myself speaking about this. And I'm so glad that we have such women that has taken the task to rise up and say, you know what, enough is enough. And I'm so glad to be connected to such women that says, you know what, let me help where I can. So family, if you are listening, I urge you to do get in contact with us. It's an awesome, awesome event. It is a very emotional event, but it's very fulfilling. You are listening to Pastor Roxanne, live from Johannesburg in South Africa. Until we meet again, shalom.
This radio program was produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.